Okay, I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're turning, I need to remind you that Brother John Monk will be our preacher on Wednesday night. He's in Pennsylvania, I believe, today. He'll be coming our way this week, perhaps even tomorrow. May see him around Bible school, not really certain. But he'll be the preacher on Wednesday night. You will want to make the Wednesday night service. Brother Johnny can fire it up, and I would like for him to do that, and so we'll be glad to hear him on Wednesday night. And then, on the other hand, this is sort of humorous. My wonderful son-in-law had to bid farewell to his ever-loving cavalier that was almost a part of him, and he had to depart with it. It only had 382,000 miles on it. And so I think it was about time for it to go. And it went by way of Warsaw's, I believe. They came out and they drug the thing up and away it went. And across the street, the neighbor lady, she had she realized how accustomed Tim was to his cavalier, that as the wrecker was towing it out, she got her trumpet out and she started playing taps. And the kids knew what was happening, but Tim didn't know. And Abby says, "I hear a noise." And they all went out to the street and saluted the cavaliers that went. You know, that's a Dombrowski, that's typical of the Dombrowskis. Rich Kipp told me years ago, they don't get too tight with them. They keep it on the loose side. So. Looks like the cavalier went away in style. So I think that's definitely a plus. I'll feel a little more relaxed. Last time I saw it, I thought, I hope this little bomb doesn't explode on him before he does move it on down the road. So maybe it'll be a little safer in whatever he chooses. I think about anything be safer than that after all those miles. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And then he explains the promise, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ." And a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God help me to say a few good words this morning. Lord, that I might say what's needed. You know who's here. You know what is needed. And I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost of God get it said. And I pray, Lord, to be received. I pray that there... whatever you have for each one, fathers, children, parents, whoever it may be, God, I pray that not be rejected. I pray to be received with meekness. And I understand, Lord's able to save their souls and redeem a life from destruction. It's able to do more than we could ever imagine. Now, I would ask you, Lord, to give me the liberty that I need, Lord, that I might preach the Word of God with unction and with the power of the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, I don't have it. I never have had it. I never will have it. If anything's done, Lord, it's going to be you. And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this place and over my heart, mind, and soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, as chapter 5, and you come to find out that earthly relationships work. That is, they go by the Word of God, they work. If you don't go by the Word of God, then they may and may not. And most of the time, may not. But in Ephesians chapter 5, you have a relationship there of wives and husbands. And it's pretty extensive there. It starts in about verse number 22 and it goes on down through verse number 33. And a lot is said for the wife. A lot of things that are hard for the wife to do. But they can be done. And then he goes on and doubles it up as far as the husband's concerned. He just piles it on. And he doesn't let up all the way through the chapter. Finishing out Ephesians chapter 5. That's wonderful when a relationship like that works. It can work. It should work. God wants it to work, and he tells you how it can work. Then in chapter number 6, it's children and parents. And I guess we're living in a very rebellious time, and you'd think that's an impossibility as well. Terrible teens and everything else you hear out there, and by the same token, that can work. You wouldn't think it would. You wouldn't think it could. But the children do what they should do, and the fathers or the parents do what they should do, that as well can work. Doesn't always, but it could. And I know what you want. You want a happy home. You want a home that God's blessings are apparent and evident. You want the peaceful valley home. You don't want chaos every day, all the time. You only want to come home. I've heard of situations where guys work 12, 13 hours a day. They don't want to go home. Because they get nagged, they get hassled, they don't want to go home. So they work and work and work and work, stay away as long as they can stay away. You don't want that. You want a good home. You want a home that the parent assumes his responsibility, the father, the children. They honor their father. What a home that would be. That's the kind of home you'd want to say, hey man, it's my 8 hours is up and now I got to go. I got someplace to go, man. I got things to do and places to go. I'm going home, man. I got to go home to my wife and my youngins. And that's a blessing to have a home like that. And of all things in verse 5 and verse number 6, you come to find out that this relationship you don't know nothing about in this country, but at one time you did, servant and master relationship, and everybody's told it could not work, but if the servant did what he should do and was obedient, looks like the key thing is obedience. It is in verse 1, it is in verse number 5. Obedient to the master, and the master treated them as he should, realizing, I have one over me, I've got a master in heaven, even that can work. Isn't that amazing? Who would ever guess that? But today, you and I are not going to be talking about husband and wife. We'll catch that another time. Nor are we going to be talking about servant master. We'll touch base on that some other time. This morning, being Father's Day, I'm looking at verse number 4. It says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's it. Say, is that all? That's plenty. You say, well, there's got to be more to it. No. If you cover everything that God has for you right there, you've covered a lot of territory. Maybe you haven't covered a lot of territory, but you have kept some things under control that they bust out too easily. And so you want to be the right kind of a father, and the children, they should be, you're the right kind of a father, a wonderful father, then the children as well, they ought to honor you. Now, sometimes somebody deserves honor and they don't get it. And that's not your problem. But I don't want to be somebody that deserves it. Then if I don't get it, I'll get it on the other side. If I don't get it, then the problem is not with myself, it's with, say, the children. If it goes that way, if it happened to be your lot in life where you've done everything you should, where you definitely deserve the honor that God would want your children to give you, and you get nothing, then leave it go. And go on, continue to do right. And give it time. And down the pike somewhere, given enough time, things turn around. God has a way of squeezing on hearts. God has a way of doing a major and marvelous work. And given enough time, things will probably alter. If they never do here, they will on the other side. The honor you deserve, you will get from the Lord himself. But as I think of Father's Day, I'm reading that verse there, and you're looking at it, you know it's one of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother. Which is the first commandment with promise. Now today, you fathers, you're going to have... your children, they're gonna honor you with their lips. And they're gonna say, "I love you, Dad," or they're gonna say, "You're a wonderful dad," ha ha. Or they're gonna say, "I don't know what they'll say." The Bible says, they honor the Lord Jesus Christ with their lips. But that's fine, and you don't need any more than that. And I don't need any more than that. If they got a heart for what they say, they're just saying the lips, no go. The Lord said, they honor me with their lips and their heart is far from me. And you would want to honor your father and say, Dad, you're a good dad. You have tried to steer me aright. You've gone the second mile away for me. And honor him with your lips and your heart being in it. Not just, you know, trying to put them on. And, oh, yeah, Dad, I need a Fenske. I need to put a little gas on the wheels, you know. And, no, that doesn't fly. But to honor them, that would work. And sometimes they honor them with, maybe a card. A little, you know, Father's Day card. And you know how those things are. You run down here to Hallmark's and buy a card. And they say, you mean everything to me. And you're just great. And you've always been super. And those kind of cards. That's good. That's all right. I'll buy something like that. I've had that kind of stuff come my way. And I bit. I believe it. I have some stuff come my way. And I think, I almost have to laugh thinking, this cannot be true. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to act like it is true. They say how great you are, man. You're just wonderful. And I'm going to believe it. I think it was, I don't know when it was, sometime lately, maybe it was my birthday, whenever it was. I get all these cards about, you know, just you're just really great, you know. And I laughed, but I told Shirley, I said, I'm going to believe all this. And I know, you know, just that kind of thing. Sometimes, you know, they give you a little gift. And you don't need a gift. Fathers don't need a gift. But sometimes you get a gift. I got a gift already today, and here it is. It's a gold number one grandpa keychain. There it is. I don't need anything else. All I got to do is find a set of keys to go on there to a brand spanking new red and white new truck. Oh, Brother Boyd, I went up to see him the other day, and he said, just a minute before you come in, I want you to see what's in the garage here. And he puts it up, the button up goes that door there, and I looked at a beautiful, 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 hardly used 1990 Dodge truck. And I mean, I begin to drool right now, red and white. I mean, I opened it up inside, looked like nobody had sat in that thing. Miss Boyd probably hadn't been that in, I bet, about 10 years. They probably had sat there for 10 years. Don't have many miles on it. And my mouth just began to water. That's all I need, just, you know, keys to go on here. Now I got plenty of keys. I mean, I bet I got 100 keys over there at my kitchen. I surely don't know what all of them are, and I don't know what all of them are. Probably some of the cars that are already history, their keys are still there, the second set of keys, I don't know. But, you know, you get all that stuff, and you say, it's okay. You know, the gifts and the cards and the words and the flower words and honor me with their lips. But, number one, the major thing in the Word of God is found in verse number 1. My children are going to honor me. It's going to be by being obedient. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. More than any words, more than any gift, more than any card, more than anything that comes out of their mouth, that's where it's at in the Word of God. Now, on the other side, you know, if you want the children to honor you, then you've got to be the right kind of a father. And you want to be a father that they can consider, Dad, you're really wonderful. And you really are. And you are based on the Word of God. I say that in verse number 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Notice that word wrath there. That's a word that I guess you might say has been set in the back burner. That's a word that people kind of, you know, push aside. It's the kind of thing, if you're going to provoke them not to wrath, then you don't ever want to taunt them and mock them and goad them and make fun of them and various things of that nature. And if you're not going to provoke them or provoke them not to wrath, the other thing you'd have to do would be to be able to control yourself. Keep the rats on. And, you know, say, well, I got a short fuse. Well, who don't have a short fuse? And all you got to do is, I mean, you know, people have a short fuse. I mean, the old flesh, that's what it's got. So the idea is control. The idea is keep it under. Don't provoke them to wrath, whereas You know, you fly apart, you come apart, and they think that's the way life is. I mean, just come apart. Get aggravated, you come apart. Don't do it that way. If they see it in you, Father, they're going to... I mean, that's what comes out. Put it this way. One time, and this was Garden of Gethsemane, they come to get the Lord Jesus Christ, lanterns, torches, and weapons. And he said, who are you looking for? We're looking for Jesus. He said, I am he. And they fell backward and manifested his deity. Next thing you read is about Peter there. And Peter, he takes and he whips out that sword there and he smites off the ear of Malchus and off it comes. The Lord catches that ear, maybe in midair, and slaps her back up alongside the head there and said, look, Peter, now's not the time. Don't you remember? I just told you, now is my kingdom not from hence. And would my servants would fight, but now is not the time. And they either live by the sword or going to die by the sword. And fathers, you've got to keep things under control or your children will think that's the way to go. And you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You pour out the wrath and someday somebody pours the wrath out on you. And like a fellow said one time, there's always somebody bigger and there's always somebody tougher. And it's like a friend of mine one time, he pulled up alongside the curb. He saw a garage sale sign. He stopped. And some guy started peeping a horn and gave the gesture. And he jumped out of his car and he went after that fella. The fella, I mean, backed down and went like this the other side of the car. He was going to mop the place up with him. And the fella finally, you know, fearfully went on. And when he relayed the story, he was told, don't ever do that again. Please, don't ever do that again. Say, well, he can't handle himself. He's older. Yeah, he probably could handle himself pretty well, even now. But it's not like it used to be, where it was a matter of the battle and the fists. Now, the equalizer, you know what it is. They'll plug you. I mean, it doesn't matter how tough you are. It doesn't matter what you got going. No matter how much you could, do. And that was the case there. But he got it by. However, they that live by the sword, die by the sword, and ultimately down the road somewhere, that kind of thing is going to get somebody in trouble. And if all they see is you pouring out wrath, they'll think that's the way to do it. And one day it's going to be a price. I remember one time in Cleveland, I preached for Brother Fallure, a little one-room church up there. Boy, what a blessing. That place was jumping. After the morning service, we went across the street to the Volunteers of America building there. And that was an unbelievable scene. Four stories of drunks hungover. And I'm not talking about two on a floor. I'm talking about cots after cots after cots after cots. Fourth floor, third floor, second floor, and out the door. And it just was amazing. We went out the door there and sitting in the doorway across the street from this Volunteers of America, near West 28th and whatever street that was up there. There was three people sitting in the door. I thought it was three guys, and it was two guys. The other one could have passed. That's how you get after enough time on the street. And one fellow, I mean, the whole side of his face was raw. I mean, it was raw, like a piece of meat. And he started in to come across pretty tough, and he started talking how I never lost a fight, never lost a battle. And Joe Williams said to him, well, he said, I've been in a few myself. He said, I've won some, I've lost some. He said, it's a big wide world. There are a lot of big, rough, tough guys out there. And he wasn't impressed. I just simply say that as I look at a father and a wonderful father, I think that one of the things that's major there is that you would want to make sure that you can keep control of yourself. And if you're burning inside, keep it on the back burner and have some kind of control of it. Something else, this wonderful father, the Bible says is going to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He's going to have to know the Lord. He's going to have to love the Lord. He's going to have to esteem the Lord above everything else in this world. And you want to be a father that's worth listening to. One time I had a friend of mine and his son said to me, I don't know if he ever knew that. But I remember his son's about 16. He said, I'm going to talk to Dad about it. And he said, he's worth listening to. That's just pretty good. I would want to be the kind of a dad that is worth listening to. And I'd want to, you know, have something from the Word of God that makes it worthwhile, and some kind of wisdom that God has given that makes it worthwhile. And you'd want to be that way. You would want to be the dad that is worth listening to. A wonderful dad. He can keep things down. He also has something from the Word of God. He's got something that makes even his children say, I'm going to ask Dad. I'm going to go to Dad. Dad'll know. Dad's got something. Dad has something from the Word of God. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the way you want to train him up. There's a dad in the Old Testament. His name is Jonadab, the son of Rechab. Anybody know where you find him? Let's go back and take a look. Back in Jeremiah chapter 35, you read about this fella. And in Jeremiah chapter 35, I would call him, he's a wonderful dad that he's worth listening to, and he's going to train him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 35, and verse number 5. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine. Hallelujah, man, we're going to party. And cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. There it is. All you want and then some. You want to get skunk drunk, whatever you want to do. I mean, get loaded to the gills. There you go. Number 6. But they said, we will not drink. We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, there he is, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Is he worth listening to? He's worth listening to. You say, why do you say that? I say that because of Deuteronomy chapter 32. And there's certain kind of wines likened unto poison. Amen. You put enough poison in your body and down the road somewhere, you're going to pay a price for it. I say that because of Proverbs chapter 23. When the Bible says W-O-E and woe's coming your way, and you're going to have this problem, this and this and this, and you got a bunch of problems come your way, I say, he's a good dad. He's worth listening to. I say that because of, say Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 11. And, you know, if somebody gets inflamed, they're going to do things they wouldn't do if they were not inflamed when they're thinking right. I say that Jonadab, he's got it right. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye should drink no wine. That's Ephesians 5. I mean, none whatsoever, neither ye nor your sons forever. Verse number 8. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father. Boy, isn't that a blessing? You talk about a situation at work. Here's a dad's got something on the ball. Here's a dad straining him up and nurturing and administering the Lord, listen to the Word of God. Here's a dad says, no, absolutely no. And here's children that they're not going to say, Dad, you're a great dad. Oh, Dad, you're too hard on us. And Dad, you're just not really. Dad, you're so far out of. Dad, you're 25 years behind time. Dad, you're just an old. You're kind of a dud type of a dad. Dad, you just don't understand. No. Boy, look at this home here. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters. Not too bad. Nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor field, nor seed. Kind of like the thing here, we have no continuing city, and we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth, and we're sojourning here for a little while. We just stopped here for a little while. Our eternal home and forevermore is on the other side. So we've just stopped here a little while. And that's kind of the approach here of Jonadab. It's not, we're not going to root in too deep here. We're going to just, we'll make it a little while here, a little while there. We're going to do what God tells us to do. Number 10, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Not bad at all. Verse number 14. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none but obey. Man, do I like that word obey. God likes that word obey. That Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And if you have a father who's worth listening to, and you have one who's going to give you something from the Word of God, then you better listen to him. And if he gives you something you know is right from the Word of God, the idea is you listen up and you obey that father.
drink none, and he said, but obey thy father's, their father's commandment. What a blessing to have children like that. Notwithstanding I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. Well, wonderful thing that they had been instructed the right way by a father who was worth listening to. None is the best route you could go. Again, as I think of not just wine, but I think of the world. And I would want to be a father that would instruct my children and a pastor that would instruct the congregation not to get too entangled with the world. Love not the world. And it's not that you can't have anything out there. The key word is love, where you just cannot get enough of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I think as well of Jeremiah chapter 42. And in Jeremiah chapter 42, I think of how the children of Israel, where the Lord was with them, he was a faithful father. In verse number 5 says, Then said they to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. Well, is he going to be true and faithful? Well, you know he is. You come all the way back to the end of your Bible in Revelation chapter 1, the Bible said Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He was that. You come to Revelation chapter 3, you get near the end of your Bible, and the Bible says he's a faithful witness. He is that. Now watch the Heavenly Father. It says, faithful witness between us, we do not even according to all things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey. There's that word again. Obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. They said if he's a faithful witness, we're going to listen to him. And we're going to obey our Father. He's worth listening to. But look at verse number 19. He's faithful. He's got their best interests at heart. And verse number 19, the Lord said unto has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world, a picture of the world. It's down in Egypt where the children of Israel, the bondage down there was major bondage. It was hard bondage. It was bitter bondage. The toil was unbelievable. The rubber band was ready to break and they wanted tighter and tighter and tighter. Go out and get your own straw. We're not going to cut you back on the amount of bricks you got to turn out. You got to go for it till, you crack, you crack, you flip, you flip. That's the world. That's Egypt. And they got down there, they got crying out to the Lord and said, Lord, man, this is hard. The taskmasters are hard. And they cried and cried. The Lord heard their crying and their groaning and saw their affliction. And ultimately, Moses and the Lord led them out of Egypt. But he says, go ye not into Egypt. They should have known. History should have taught them. However, there's always that tendency. They get out of Egypt there, and they're going a little while in the wilderness. And next thing you know, they say, what's going on here? We had it better in Egypt. We got it here. We had the leeks, onions, garlic, the fishes. We had it all. The cucumber. We had it all back there. And we don't have it here. Make us a captain. Go back to Egypt. And that's a tendency always for the Christian to go back to the world. And if you look at the pattern of the children of Israel, they come very close to going back. All they needed was a captain that said, let's go. And back to Egypt they would have went. And the Bible says, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Said, okay, we're going to obey him. If he's faithful to us, we'll obey him. And he was faithful. And he said, go ye not into Egypt. Watch verse number 21. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Here is the Father that's worth listening to, a Heavenly Father. Said, look, this world has done you a rough deal before. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get harder and tougher all the time. Not going to do you good. It's going to do you wrong. And don't go into the world. Go ye not into Egypt. Said, we'll listen, we'll listen, we'll listen. As long as we hear what we want to hear. It's like tickling the ears, you know. Day and age in which you and I live, people want their ears tickled. They want something, the Word of God, want to have their ears tickled. And Jeremiah said, look, what's the problem here? You have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. We'll do it, we'll do it, we'll do it. Well, what happens? Verse 22. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword. Not good. By the famine. Not good. By the pestilence. No good. In the place where ye desire to go and sojourn. And Sam said, look, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to wake you up. You've got to listen to the Lord. You've got to obey the Lord. This isn't going to fly. It's not going to work. You've got to obey the Lord. But, look at verse 2, next chapter. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshai, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, underline that, proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. You're just saying something, Jeremiah. The Lord didn't really tell you anything. Verse number 4, middle of the verse there. All the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. Verse number 7, so they came in the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus they came even to Tahpanhes. And it's kind of a pitiful picture there. Chapter 44, verse number 6, wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day. They had been far better off had they listened to the prophet of God, who had been worth listening to, when he said, go ye not into Egypt, a picture and a type of the world. It's going to cost you, and cost it did. Here's a verse back in 1 Samuel chapter 15 you need to listen up to. It's King Saul who Samuel said it to, who went out and got victory over the Amalekites, but not the victory as God told him to get it. God said, you go in there and you get victory over these people because of what they did to the children of Israel, and they came out of Egypt there. They jumped on and hopped on those that were feeble. I don't like that. And the rearward, it's like those that are just kind of dragging, you know, just barely making it. And that's the crowd that Amalek jumped on. And he says, remember Amalek. So one day he says, Saul, you're king here. I want you to go out and get victory over these people, and I want you to wipe them out. I mean wipe them out. I'm talking about wipe out everything. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about women, animals. I'm talking about everything. Wipe them out! And he goes out and he wins the battle. But he didn't do it the way God said to do it. He took a look at those sheep there. Some animals, pretty good sheep over there. Well, get rid of these scrawny ones over here, feeble ones over here, and that's kind of our pattern. We'll, you know, we'll kind of reciprocate there. We'll take on some of them, but... And one day the Lord said, what meaneth this bleeding of the sheep? What am I hearing out there? And Saul said, oh, man, we kept the best of them to sacrifice to you. Oh, big deal. And he said this, Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. That is, if you're a father worth listening to, I know what you want. More than a sacrifice or a gift, a sacrificial gift from any of your children, grandchildren, anybody, what you'd want. Number one, you would want to be listened to as you try to teach them the Word of God and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You would want them to be, you would want to be listened to. But some, they simply honor with their lips. That's as far as it goes. A father worth listening to is a wonderful father. You got one? He's going to shoot straight with you when it comes to the bottle, wine, the world. It'll eat you up. It'll cost you. He's going to shoot straight with you when it comes to the idea of work, which is something that's almost nil these days. That Bible says, sweat of the face, and sweat of the face it should be. However, that's about the last thing that we desire, want, care for. We're going to find some way by hook or by crook to get around it. You're not going to do it. Matthew chapter 21, you have a picture there where the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I got a vineyard out there that needs some work. Go to my vineyard. One says, I'm not going. Hey, I'm not going out there and sweat, and I'm not going to do it. But he repented and went. God thinking, my father's worth listening to, and I need to go. I'll go. He showed me by example what work's all about. He's never been afraid to work. Showed me how to work. I'll go. The other one said, I go, and didn't go. I go, sir. And went not. Which of the two did the will of the Father? number one, went and did the will of the Father. And so sometimes, you know, just to, you know, learn how to work is worth something. And if you've got a father that has assumed his responsibility and is not afraid to work and has taught you to work and how to work, you can be thankful. That's a wonderful father. But fathers, remember this. While you teach them to work, you don't just teach them how to labor for, well, wealth or riches. You don't do that. There are things that are more important than that. That is eternal things. You teach them how to labor to make ends meet and perhaps have some for a rainy day. But that's not where it stops. That's called the meat that perisheth. There is that which has eternal value to it. And you teach them to labor for souls as well. And if you have a father that is a wonderful father, he's going to teach you that you refrain from ever beginning and ever starting and ever tasting the bottle or anything in the area of strong drink. The world, he's going to let you know that it doesn't glitter. All that glitters is not gold. When you get out there, you're going to find out it doesn't glitter, it's bitter. The bottom is a bitter cup. If he's a father that trains you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, he's going to teach you to do a day's work for a day's pay, but as well as that, he's going to teach you to labor for the souls that perish and for the souls of men, that which is eternal. If you have one that is worth listening to, and you have a father like that, you can thank God for it. He's going to give you something from the Word of God. And if you obey, 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 you won't go wrong. Now let's take a look at the number one thing, number one issue in this life. Go back to Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And again, you read this word obey. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Then I want to be obedient. I want to obey what God tells me to do. I don't want to go to hell. Man, if God's going to tell me how to get saved and the way of salvation, I'm going to obey what he says. Look at 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Then obedience that deals with righteousness and salvation, that has to do with a heart issue. I'll show you why I say that. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, look at verse number 9. Romans 10 and verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. There you go. Obey from the heart. God wants you to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ from the depths of your heart. The Ethiopian eunuch was said, if thou believest, thou mayest. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto him. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. I don't mind doing that because he's in my heart. I'm not just going to confess empty words. I'm going to confess what my heart believes. And it believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of my soul. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is called the gospel. And it has to do with obeying the gospel. It has to do with obeying from the heart the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And you need to obey from the heart the word of God. The right kind of a child is going to say, this is worth listening to. I want to know the way of salvation. And I want to do what God tells me to do. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to dispute. I'm not going to say I'll do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. And he said, my way is you obey from the heart the doctrine I've taught you, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And he'll save your never dying soul if you will call upon him with a repentant heart. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know a father that's worth listening to? He's going to take the word of God and he's going to show you the way of salvation. You understand in the Bible, the father can't do it for the son, and the son can't do it for the father. And the father don't pay for the sins of the son, and the son don't pay for the sins of the father. Once you're showed the way, the responsibility then becomes your own. But as I talk to you now about this wonderful Father, I've talked to you two ways. I've talked to you about an earthly Father worth listening to. I've talked to you about a heavenly Father that's worth listening to. And I think, they're both wonderful. And they're both worth obeying. They're both worth listening to. The area of wine, the world, women that I haven't even touched on, work for the Lord, and the way of salvation from the Word of God. Last night I went to see Mr. Modoc and opened the Bible up before I left, and I said, I want to read something, Mr. Modoc. And I read John chapter 12, verse number 20 and 21. How those Greeks, they came to Philip and they said, we would see Jesus. That's good desire. That's her desire. Man, she wants the Lord to come now. Or carry her out now. And if you're in her condition, you'd probably be the same way. And then verse number 26 goes on and says some things there in verse number 26. And it says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's this way. I've talked to you about an earthly father. I've talked to you about a heavenly father. You honor your earthly father. That's right to do. You be obedient. You honor your heavenly Father, that's right to do, and you be obedient. Especially obey the gospel and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, and one day he's going to honor you. Him will my Father honor. And she said, you know what? She said, Brother Art, when you leave, she said, I'm going to think about what you told me. And she had nothing else to do anyhow. She's just laying there, and she's going to think about what I said. Now what about you? You going to think about what I said? You fathers. You want to be wicked? You want to be wonderful? What do you want to be? You want to be worldly, or you want to be worth something and worth listening to? You'd want to be the right kind of father, and you children. If you got a father that has taught you some morals, ethics, how to work, to listen to the Word of God, and the way of salvation, you need to honor your father today. And even forevermore. Don Marietta's Dr. Rankin, and I like Dr. Rankin. My wife likes him. And that's saying something. Because she's rather skeptical. I've already went to some, and she never went back in with me a second time. So I'll try him again. She said, well, I'm going to stay out here and read. She wouldn't go back a second time. She thought there was some kind of a, voodoo, witchcraft, or whatever else. She didn't bother with it. Dr. Rankin was a different story. She sat there when he asked question, 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 question. Said, oh, this guy is more interested than any doctor I've ever seen before. And then when I got up off that table and walked out, instead of going like that, he really got interested. But the clincher was when this side of my face, instead of going like this, like this, like this, begin to quiet down. Been obvious. Bethany Schilling saw it Sunday school the first Sunday. And it's been rather good lately. So obviously after the surgery was a zero, all the voodoo doctors around within 50 miles have been a zero. And Dr. Rankin does me a right turn. Think highly of him. But you know, I think highly of him as a doctor. I think very highly of him for this reason. He's 73, so why you respect your elders? He's 73 years of age. Very strong in his hands. Looks firm in his body, as a matter of fact. And the reason I really respect him is not for any of those reasons. I respect him because on his sign it says, Dr. William C. Rankin, Jr. Now you know the story, somebody's a junior and their dad passes on, they're going to knock it off. I'm not a junior anymore, I'm senior, belittling. But you know when I see Dr. Rankin, he always talks about his father. Oh, my dad's a better doctor than I am. Was a better doctor than I am. How that he had a little brother that was had a problem, and he tried to tell doctors, look, I think that this Jocelyn Aran will help him. Oh, no, it won't help. So they said, okay, I'll be that doctor. And he went out there and he learned this cranial movement business, and he learned it every precise move he could possibly learn. He said, my dad had an incentive that I don't have. My son's healthy. His wasn't. He had an incentive. He's the best. And I say, I like to hear that. 73 years of age, outstanding. Shirley's cousin said they come from everywhere to see Dr. Rankin. Don's cousin, Akron. I got up to 6 weeks now. I go from Canton. So no, they come from everywhere. He doesn't talk about himself. My dad. I'm junior. 73 years of age. William C. Rankin, Jr. I like him for his thoroughness. I like him for his work. I like him for the help I've got. I like his attitude. But I absolutely like his honor towards his father who's passed on. I look up there and I see pictures. The father is always at the forefront. Here's a family. Here's this. He's got a picture of the John F. Kennedy from Cousin Bill to Cousin Bill. Oh, what's this all about? The commander-in-chief of a great and super ship, and Phil, you probably know about it. And haven't been on it, have you? No. Anyhow, proud and super ship there, and thus and such from Commander Bill McGowan, I think it was, his cousin. But always number one is the father. Honor thy father and thy mother. Gifts are all right. Words are fine if they're from the heart. The card's okay. A phone call's sufficient. But number one, the right kind of a father who's worth listening to, he would want you to be obedient to the Word of God as he's brought you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And number one, obedient especially in that which is eternal. You've got to obey from the heart God's way of salvation by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get up there one day. Is he going to honor you? If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You honor him, and one day he'll reciprocate and honor you. Anybody here that hasn't obeyed the form of doctrine delivered unto us when it comes to salvation, need to do it now. That's the way you honor, number one, the way you honor the Father in heaven. You don't say, I'll do it my way. You wouldn't believe the stuff that's beginning to come around Bible Believers Baptist Church. Talking about Brother Art. I got one from out in, I forget where it's from. And it was a clipping by Carl Keating that Dr. Ruckman debated years ago. It's an article that it calls something about an aging apostle tells you how not to preach. To me, it's humorous, you know. And talked about how whenever he debated him, people got up there and there was somebody sitting down near the front there and had a sign. And every time he would answer something, they'd flip that sign and say, "Repent, sinner!" And every time Dr. Uckman answered something, they'd flip that sign the other way and say, "Amen, brother." I thought it was funny. And then yesterday, I get another one. This time it was from down in Kentucky. I guess since, you know, our church is listed in Bible Believers Bulletin now, and all this stuff's going to come across, you know, and try to, but it's kind of funny. And this one had to do with the way of salvation. And, you know, the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and calling upon the name of the Lord. And everything, you know, that you and I have been taught from the Word of God explained away. And blood turns into water, or water turns into blood. And everything just, I mean, explained away, explained away, explained away. Don't explain it away. Obey the Word of God and the way of salvation. Do it now. If you never have done it, don't go on any longer being disobedient to the book. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You turn from a disobedient child to an obedient one that obeys a heavenly Father who most definitely is worth listening to. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, that your blessing be upon what has been preached. May the Holy Spirit of God work in every heart. These youngsters here, if they have a father that is trying his very best to train them up right, may they honor him and may they obey him. And most of all, our Heavenly Father, who most definitely has gone the third mile of the way to train us up in the nurture and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be obeyed as well. And especially, may we start where we need to start, forgetting all about everything else, but number one, the way of salvation. May we start there. Speak to every heart. Father, you know the need. You know who needs what. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.